So we're going to finish up this series in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, which is essentially God's heart for us. This is a passage we've been working through. Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So the idea is that wherever you go, whatever you're doing, His will is the same, that you would rejoice, that you pray, that you're thankful. It turns out as you study through Scripture and try to discern what His will is, it turns out that more often than not, God is more concerned about who we are on the journey than the actual destination. We tend to think in terms of the destination. God, where do you want me to land? Where do you want me to be in the end? What's the path I should take? And God oftentimes focuses more on who we are on that path and who we are along the way. And along the way, whatever path He leads you down, His will is that you would rejoice always, that you pray continually, and that you give thanks in all circumstances. And so far we've talked about being joyful and being prayerful, and this week we're talking about being thankful. And what I want to do is just take this morning and focus on those five words: give thanks in all circumstances. And the first word is give. Give thanks in all circumstances. The word give indicates that thanks cost you something. It requires being intentional and deliberate. Sometimes we see people or we know people who, from our perspective, seem to be thankful and appreciative, and they're grateful and optimistic and positive, however you want to put it, just by nature. That's just kind of who they are. And some of us find those people really annoying. Because we're not that way. And we say about ourselves, well, that's not how I'm wired. That's not the way I am. And I tend to be more cynical. Or I tend to see things a little bit different, you know, a little bit on the darker side. And we can have a way of dismissing gratitude and thanksgiving as, yeah, it's either the way you're wired or it's not. But what we find in Scripture is that contentment and thanksgiving are learned behaviors. It's not something that you're born with. And the more we look at life through the lens of gratitude and thanksgiving, the more natural it becomes for us to see it that way. All of this is something that we're taught. It's learned behaviors over and over. When my children were born, or a while after they were born, my wife started teaching them a few words in sign language. And I was thinking that was a good idea. I think it's a good idea that you'd be able to walk, take something away each Sunday, and each Sunday that you can say you learned something. And if I do this early, you'll remember, but if I wait another 10 minutes, you'll probably forget because half of you are asleep. So we're going to learn a little bit of sign language today, okay? In sign language, this is no. Just do this. See, all you can do that. Go on. There, see? You guys are all right. Oh. Okay, so this is no. And if you know no, then you have to know yes, right? So this is yes. Okay? Real simple. Yes. You're already fluent. Oh. Okay, how about stop? This is stop. See, some of you already know it. You're trying to get ahead of your teachers already. Okay? Nobody likes a show off, all right? This is stop, okay? So how about this? How about more? Can you do more? This is more, okay? And that's not difficult. None of these are difficult words for a child to learn, right? Before they can even speak, they can figure this stuff out, okay? If you teach more, you teach them this one day, and by the next day, they're all fluent. Or like you, they're fluent like 30 seconds later, okay? But it turns out that as a young child, a baby or a toddler, this is really all a kid needs. Because more is all they need. That's all they want to know. Because they don't want to know no. No. Yes, sometimes. Just more. Because if their sippy cup is empty, more. If they're hungry, if they didn't get enough food, more. If they're not ready to get up and they want to sleep, which I don't know any kids that fall into that category, but more. It's the only word they really need. But here's what I found, that for us as we get older, our hearts, we're just always doing this, right? We're always doing this. We always want more. More and more. And our hearts are always saying, give me more, or I need more. It never really changes. That one word tends to mark our prayers when we talk to God. God, I want more. God, I need more. Another word that Robin taught the boys is the word thanks, or thank you, and all, which is this, or that. Okay? And so everyone, you know, thanks. You guys aren't playing along now. Okay? Come on. There you go. And this is a word you can learn pretty easy early on. It's not difficult to teach more or thank you. But you realize that, and even if we're not talking about sign language, we're just talking about words, right? It's easy to teach your kids more. It's really hard to get them to learn thank you. We're constantly having to remind our kids to say thank you, okay? You don't have to get them, convince them, remind them to do more, but you're constantly reminding them to say thank you or please or things like that. The same is true, I think, in our prayers. We're good at doing more. We're not so great at thank you. We can say more, but we don't. We don't do a lot of this. Why is that? Because more focuses on what we get. If we're doing this, really what this is, it's a lot of this. Raking stuff in and pulling stuff, you know, it's what I get. And thank you is, look at it this way. Thank you is me giving stuff away, okay? It's giving stuff. That's Thanksgiving. Even implied in the word, think about it, implied in the word Thanksgiving is a message that we sometimes miss. Thanksgiving isn't Thanksgiving until thanks is actually given. You're giving something away. It's something that we give. It's something that's intentional. And as I studied this, one of the things that I was struck by is that when we give thanks, what we get in return is so much greater. Like all generosity, giving thanks comes back to us in many different ways. A study was done a while back, and they separated volunteers into two groups. And I think I've told this story before, but it's been at least 6 years, so I can do it again. This study, they separated people into two groups. Participants in one group had to keep a Thanksgiving journal, or a thank you journal. No, just to list daily everything that they're thankful for that happened that day. And to learn to pay attention to the good things and to just write that down. And the other group was instructed to keep what they called an annoyance journal, which this is the group I would volunteer for, okay? Where they were just to write down everything that annoyed them throughout the course of the day, which my journal would have be full of names. And then they found out what the effects of these two groups were. They found that those who kept the gratitude or the Thanksgiving journals had markedly greater increases of energy and enthusiasm throughout their day. They slept better. They were significantly less depressed. And we find that true relationally as well. Studies show that expressing thanks and encouragement to others is the most effective way to influence future behavior. Think about who in here has a dog. Who in here has tried training a dog? What do you use to train your dog? Treats, right? Well, the treat is the same thing as a thank you to a human being, okay? If you tell your dog to sit and he sits and you give him a treat, the dog sits the next time you tell him to sit, doesn't he? Same thing with the kids, same thing with adults. When you say thank you for them doing something, it encourages them to do the same thing again. And there's been research done that people who are thanked for doing things do so more willingly in the future. So when we give thanks to people that we share life with, it's like making an investment. We call it giving thanks, but there is in fact a great return on the gift that we make. When we're thankful, all of this stuff comes back to us. And the more specific you are, or the more specific we are with our thank you, the greater the investment turns out to be. Does that make sense? The more specific we are in our thanksgiving, the greater benefit it is for that person, and the greater benefit it is for us in teaching us gratitude. Another interesting thing they learned is that as they separated people into these two groups, and one group was told to show thanksgiving and appreciation, and the other group was told to kind of keep the annoyance journal, is that whatever they did intentionally, they have found themselves doing unintentionally as well, or subconsciously throughout the day. So if they were keeping a Thanksgiving journal, just things they had to be thankful for, once the journal was shut, they found themselves doing the same thing afterwards. It became a constant mindset, a mindset of looking for thanksgiving and gratitude. Conversely, those who kept the annoyance journal, they found that after their journal was shut, they were more irritable, and they were more likely to complain and be critical. So that whatever we do find ourselves doing more of, we just continue that. We learn to look at the world through that set of lenses. So we're told to give thanks, and then the next few words we're going to focus on here is all circumstances. Give thanks in all circumstances. And that's what makes this whole thing difficult, right? It's easy to say thank you, it's easy to give thanks, but in all circumstances, really? Because here's what we do. Most of us think that our thanks is dependent on our circumstances, right? And that if our circumstances were somehow different, that would unlock the key to our thanksgiving. If something about our circumstances would change, then I would be able to show gratitude and be thankful. I'd be thankful if. And so our thanksgiving is conditional on our circumstances. That's how most of us approach the idea of thanksgiving. But in fact, the Bible tells us to give thanks in all of it. Not some, but all circumstances. And we have a hard time with this. We tend to think that if our circumstances were more abundant or more comfortable, that would equal thanksgiving. So here's the equation we usually work off of. Abundance plus comfort equals thanksgiving. That I have more, if I have more money, more security, more love, more whatever it is you want to put in that blank. And if I'm comfortable, then I'll be more thankful. And we work off of this equation and think that this is how the world works. That abundance plus comfort equals thanksgiving. But in fact, for most of us, more often than not, unless we're really intentional about it, abundance is the enemy of gratitude. It's actually the enemy of gratitude and thankfulness. And so the equation that turns out to be true more often than not is this: abundance plus comfort equals discontentment. And we're surprised by that. But it turns out that the more we get, the more we think we need, and the more we want. And whatever we have now pales in comparison to what we might get, or what the neighbor has, or the latest thing we've seen on advertised. And so abundance and comfort tend to show itself in discontentment. And some of you get this. Like if I would have told you 10 years ago you're going to be making the amount of money you make now and living the way you live now, for some of you, you would have been like, that's more than enough. When Robin and I first got married, if I knew what we were going to be making now, I never would have worried a bit. I'd have been like, life will be easy. But that's not it. That's not how it works. Because it's always just a little bit more. There's just something about abundance and comfort that has the opposite effect on our spirit. And instead of leading to thanksgiving, it leads to discontentment because we don't have that more. We don't get that little bit more that we want. For further evidence of this, if you looked at the current circumstances of our society, of our culture, then we should be the most grateful, the most thankful, the most satisfied, culture that has ever existed in the history of mankind. If it's true that abundance plus comfort equals thanksgiving, that should be us. We should be the most thankful that is people that have ever existed. Think about it. According to the census, 76% of poor families are poor households, those living below the poverty line. 76% have air conditioning. 30 years ago, only 36% of U.S. citizens had air conditioning. Raise your hand if you didn't grow up with air conditioning in your house. I didn't know what air conditioning was until the Army introduced me to it. We're more comfortable, in other words, than we've ever been in many ways. In 1973, the average new house had about 1,600 square feet to it. Today, the average home being built is around 2,400 square feet, and families are half the size they used to be. More abundance than ever. Of the 46 million Americans living below the poverty level right now, 74% own a car or truck. 90% plus pay for some kind of television like cable, satellite, internet. Who grew up with two TV channels? And who was the one that was forced to go out and turn the antenna when dad couldn't watch his football game? 53% have a video game system in their home. Who didn't grow up with Atari? Who even knows what an Atari is? So relatively speaking, and I know there are plenty of exceptions, I understand that, but there's more abundance, more comfort than there has ever been. And the question is, are we more thankful and grateful as a group, as a society? I don't think so. Psychologist Martin Seligman conducted a study of depression in America that showed that people born after 1945, boomers, were 10 times more likely to be depressed than people born earlier. And that seems strange because they have so much more abundance and so much more comfort, relatively speaking. But on a whole, he talks about in his research that you don't find depression or discomfort as we know it, suicide, hopelessness, giving up, low self-esteem. You don't find that in non-Westernized cultures. In fact, in some primitive cultures, there are no signs of depression at all. There's a study of a tribe in New Guinea where there is no evidence of despair at all. So for all of our material blessings, we have been left largely in discontent. We have become so aware of what we don't have that it's difficult for us to be thankful and appreciative of what we do have. Another way this equation tends to work itself out is like this: abundance plus comfort equals entitlement. And so here's how it plays. We finally get something that we've been wanting, and when we get it, instead of being thankful, our spirit tends to be, well, it's about time, right? That's what I've been waiting for. That's what I've been asking for. It took long enough, and this is what I deserved. And that tends to be the attitude of a lot of us. There's this sense of entitlement. So that when something good comes our way, instead of being appreciative, we feel like we somehow deserved it. Another way this equation tends to surface is this: abundance and comfort equals complaining. That when there is discontent and when there is entitlement, it surfaces with just complaining. Or we complain about what we don't have. And so here's what's interesting. Those who complain the most are often the most well off. It turns out that abundance and comfort doesn't necessarily equal thanksgiving. In fact, it leads oftentimes to discontentment and entitledness and complaining. So what do? Well, we have to be intentional. We have to be intentional to be thankful in all circumstances. And that's in every situation we learn to look at life through this lens of gratitude and thanksgiving. I was reading just some practical ways that the Bible gives us to express thanks. And the Bible says we can give thanks through singing. Now, I'm not a big fan of singing. Nobody wants to hear me sing in here. But I sing in my truck when I'm driving, when nobody else is in the truck. Bible says we can give thanks through singing. Psalm 147, verse 7, sing out your thanks to him. Sing praises to God. When we want to say thanks to God, a way to do that, just sing. You put on a worship CD in the car. It doesn't even have to be a worship CD. Singing is singing. You put on a CD, you turn it to whatever on Pandora or whatever you're listening to, Spotify, and you just sing along. And something happens inside of you. The tone of our hearts begins to match the tone of our voice. And we start to feel better. We start to feel more thankful. We start to feel different. One of the things that I've learned about worship, about singing thanks and praise to God, is that the less I feel like doing it, the more I probably need to do it. Another way we express thanks is by serving. The Bible says in Hebrews 12:28, let us please God by serving him with thankful hearts. And so when we serve, it's a way to express thanks. It's a way to give thanks. And this is not, I told you a couple weeks ago that this is not me grooming everybody to choose to do something in the church, okay? I would love for you to pick something and do something in the church, okay? That would be great. But that's not the point I'm trying to make here. When I say serve, I mean do something for somebody in your family. Do something for your neighbor. Go do something for your parents. That's what I mean, okay? It doesn't have to be in the church. It has to be for somebody, okay? That's how you serve. Serve somebody. Now, for many of us, we've gotten into a habit of serving for what we can get out of it. That tends to be a way we look at it, because we want to get some recognition, or we want some appreciation. And I'm guilty of this. Before I did this, when I was just serving in the church, teaching Sunday school classes, stuff like that, there would get to be a point where, you know, you're setting up different things and you're doing all this stuff and you're sitting there going like, you know, I'm tired of doing this stuff. And there's 20 of us doing all this stuff and 100 people are enjoying it and they're not doing anything. And you get tired of it and you start thinking, I don't want to do it anymore. And that's not the way to look at it. But that's just a natural response. But we look for some kind of appreciation. So we'll do an act of kindness for someone in our home because of what we want them to do for us later. And so there's this spirit of I'll serve for you because of what you can do for me. And everything becomes transactional. And instead, what we want to do, whether it's our relationship with each other or with God, is to say, look, this is an act of thanks. This is an act of celebrating you. And we approach things differently that way. And our mindset is different. And this is a matter of just training yourself differently and teaching yourself to do this. It's a way to express appreciation. And I'm not doing this for what I can get. I'm giving this because it will make you feel better, it makes me feel better, and in the end, we're all better off for it. Number three, we give thanks by giving. And this kind of fits into the same thing. Psalm 50, verse 14 says, give an offering as a way to show thanks to God. The Bible would teach us the level of our giving is a gauge that measures our gratitude. The level of our giving is a gauge that measures our gratitude. Now, we get this relationally for the most part, right? Mother's Day, Father's Day, you know, Valentine's Day, the worst holiday in the world. We get a nice note. But it's all pretty customary to give a gift, right? If someone does something nice for you and you want to express appreciation or thanksgiving, then you might send a note. You might put a card in there as well. Why? Well, because we understand there's a correlation between gratitude and generosity. That thanksgiving shows itself through giving a gift. And we see that as well biblically in our relationship with God. And this isn't me saying you need to give more money. Well, it is me saying you need to give more money. But I'm not telling you how much to give. I'm just saying giving, and it's not to the church. It could be It could be to some weird kid that's out in Rhode Island helping plant a church, or something else, you know. It could be to the camp, or it could be to Little Rock, or whatever, okay? It's taking the focus off of you and putting it on something else, okay? And I'll tell you this, and I go through this all the time. If you think you're giving enough, you're not. That's the truth no matter what. If you say, yeah, I'm giving enough, you're not doing it right. Giving should cost you something, okay? Giving should be sacrificial. That means you should be giving up something so you can give, okay? And that might be something simple like, I'm not going to eat McDonald's 5 times this week because I'm going to give that to somebody else, okay? But there should be some, you're giving up something so you can give. There should be some sacrificial part in there, okay? Okay, so we looked at a few words here. We looked at give. We've looked at all circumstances. One last word I want us to look at is the shortest one, but maybe the most important. It's the word in. Give thanks in all circumstances. That short word makes all the difference to interpreting this correctly. Because when we talk about thanksgiving, we almost always use a different preposition than in. We talk about being thankful, what? For. Thankful for this. Thanksgiving, we would sit around, when I was growing up, we would sit around, we hated it. Mom, Dad, all right, you guys, what are you thankful for? Give me 3 things you're thankful for. And we hated it. No, it was the most annoying thing in the world. And when I was a parent, we ended up doing the same thing to our kids. No. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that. It's good and right to be thankful for things. But as you're making your list of what you're thankful for, you'll probably find it a little harder to be thankful in. To be thankful in all things. The Bible doesn't want us to be thankful for all things. Not only would it be impossible, it would be a little bit sadistic, don't you think? You know, I'm thankful for cancer. Well, God doesn't want you to be thankful to him for cancer. I'm thankful for divorce. Well, he doesn't want you to be thankful for that. It's not his idea. He doesn't want that. He doesn't want the cancer. He doesn't want the divorce. He wants to put an end to all of that, and someday he will. But in the meantime, we don't say, thanks for the car accident. We don't say you should be thankful because you lost a spouse. But we can be thankful in them. We can be thankful in those moments. And there's just a few things as we finish up, some ways that we can be thankful in all things. Number one, I can be thankful in all things because he has a greater purpose than I can see. I don't know what the big picture is. I don't understand how everything is being laid out, okay? Think about a tapestry, a rug that's been woven together. If you look at the back side of it, it looks like a mess. It doesn't make any sense at all. And that's what we see. We just see the mess. We see the back side of the tapestry. But if you turn it around, you see a beautiful picture. And that's what he's weaving. And we're just a part in that, okay? He has a greater purpose than we can see in our current situation. And so he knows what I don't know, and he understands what I can't. And our perspective is so limited, but his is an eternal perspective. So here's a couple of verses to link together for you. In Thessalonians, we're told to give thanks in all things. In Romans 8, we're told that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purposes. So that helps us with this. We give thanks in all things because in all things, God's working for our good. We can have confidence and a trust in a situation that seems to have no redeeming value, that God can put pieces together that he can bring some good out of it, and that his purpose can still be accomplished. Second, I can give thanks in all circumstances because he can work in me so that I can grow. In all things, God can make me more like Jesus Christ. And this is consistent in Scripture, where we can be grateful for certain challenges because in those challenges, our faith is matured and our relationship with God is deepened. And we come out on the other side looking more like his son. And what we went through wasn't easy. It wasn't pretty, and we don't want to go through that again. But there's been a result from that. Another reason that we can be thankful in all things is because he will give me the power so that I can overcome. No matter what I'm going through, I don't go through it alone. There's a peace that surpasses understanding. And some of you know this all too well. You've gone through horrific things in your life, whether it's as an adult or as a child, and you would never want to go through that again. And you would never be thankful for it. But you learn to be thankful in it because you're thankful for God's power and strength and that he's given you what you needed. One last one here is, I've learned to be thankful in all circumstances. We can be thankful in all circumstances because God gave his son so that we could be saved. And this is it. Here it is. God doesn't owe you anything. You can pound your fist down on your high chair tray and you can say more, 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 and you can be demanding and throw a fit, and he owes you nothing. And you can go through life with this sense of entitlement where every good thing you get isn't enough because you think you deserve a little bit more. And he doesn't owe you that. If all he ever did for you is what he did for you, we should be eternally grateful for that. But he would give his only son, Jesus Christ, to die for us so that in any circumstances, in any situation, if we put our trust in Christ and we have the promise of eternal life, that is more than enough to be thankful for. And no matter what I go through in this life, that is still something I can be in all things. I can be thankful for that promise of eternal life in Jesus Christ. And so that's where we want to put our hope. We want to put our hope and our thanks in what Christ has done for us. One of my favorite stories of Thanksgiving was from I got this from a priest in Fort Dodge. He was on a mission trip where he visited a leper colony. And he had an opportunity to sit in a worship service at this leper colony. And here was a lady up on stage playing a guitar, and she asked the lepers in this colony if they had any songs they wanted to sing. And this guy, as he tells a story about the trip, says there was a woman in the back who raised her hand, her fingerless hand. And he looked back at her, and her nose was gone, and her lips were gone, and her speech was all slurred, and it was hard to understand her. And the worship leader said, "What is it? What would you like to sing?" And she said, "Can we sing 'Count Your Many Blessings'?" Now, I don't know what causes somebody in that situation, in those circumstances. What in the world gives someone the ability to be thankful in those circumstances? Well, Jesus does. Because when he is all you've got, that's more than you deserve. And that's more than you will ever need. And that's where we need to get to. That's the kind of faith, that's the kind of perspective we need to get to. And we need to get away from all the idea of comfort and entitlement and complaining and disenchantment and all that surrounds us, you know, and that we struggle with, and get to the point where we can focus on that. Would you pray with me? Heavenly and gracious Father, we are grateful, Lord, for your love and grace in our lives. I pray, Lord, that we can be grateful, thankful in all circumstances, in all things that we go through in this life, in all those tests and trials, in our joyous moments, in those days when the cancer is gone, in those days when our spouse is gone, in those days when the kids leave home and we're left alone, in those days when it seems like the world is against us and you're all we have, just remind us that that's all we need. And I pray, Lord, that we can focus on that, and that we can focus on the relationship and just grow closer with you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.